Hello and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on securing your Microsoft Operations Manager 2005 environment. My name is Terry Tull. Security is critical to any enterprise organization, and in this session you will see the security improvements that have been made to MOM 2005 and how to use MOM to secure your enterprise management environment. Let's start by taking a look at what we'll be covering in this session. In this session, we are going to look at Microsoft Operations Manager and security management in general, and the new security features that have been added to MOM 2005. We will also look at trusted monitoring, which is an important new scenario in MOM 2005, which will include looking at the privileges required for it and how role-based security can help. We will also see how to secure your MOM 2005 deployments, both from the MOM management server side and the MOM agent client side perspectives. This will also include information on securing your network infrastructure. As we go through today's session, you will hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or other versions of Microsoft products that we may not spend time on. To help you out, we have listed out the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with, either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. You should have a basic understanding of operations management. It would also be helpful to have some experience using MOM 2000 or MOM 2005. It will also help if you have some familiarity with general Microsoft Windows operating system security. The first main topic we will be covering is MOM security management. Any approach to security in an enterprise must be a holistic approach. No single policy or application or procedure is going to make your entire environment secure. MOM is no different. So let's take a look at the MOM security stack and see how MOM follows the same principles of holistic security. If you look at the MOM security management stack, you can see that most of it is common to things you are already doing today to secure your environment. For example, policies and procedures are critical to lay foundations for a secure environment. Similarly, physical security is important for MOM and any other applications in your data center. You also need to ensure that the data center network itself is secured. Securing your host is as important for MOM as it is for any other service in your data center. MOM 2005 has its own security features, which you will need to understand to effectively secure your MOM deployment. MOM 2005 management packs and data also need securing to fully secure your MOM 2005 environment. When you think about MOM security, you should think about MOM as a platform because it is a platform for executing management packs which monitor other applications. Just as you would not deploy an application in your environment without understanding the impact the application will have on security, you should not deploy a management pack in your environment without understanding the impact the management pack will have on your data center security. When examining MOM security, you need to remember that organizations can use MOM in a variety of ways. Monitoring scenarios are largely read-only, data-gathering scenarios, and use the MOM agent to retrieve information from managed devices and then process, filter, and report on that data. On the other hand, MOM can be used as a kind of remote administration platform, as well as to further lower the cost of ownership in your enterprise. MOM can be configured to run specific responses when activity occurs on a managed node. For example, an event occurs which triggers an alert to be generated, which triggers a script to run to resolve the problem, all without user intervention. Similarly, MOM 2005 supports runtime tasks, which you can execute from a central managed console to make configuration changes to your managed environment. In the next section, we will look at the security features of MOM 2005. Let's look at the security improvements that have been made to MOM 2005. Microsoft has made a lot of investment in security in MOM 2005. Network security has been greatly improved. New installations of MOM 2005 are now more secure by default, so you need to do less work post-installation to make your MOM environment secure. A lot more firewall scenarios are supported in MOM 2005 than were supported in MOM 2000. And there are many more smaller security improvements which we'll be discussing in this presentation. One of the biggest areas of security investment has been in agent-to-server communication security. If there is one thing you should take away from this presentation, it should be that you need to enable mutual authentication in your environment. This is a really important addition to MOM 2005 because it lays the groundwork for all the other security measures you will see later in this presentation. Mutual authentication allows us to positively identify the parties involved in network communication. That is, the MOM agent and the MOM server. You use Kerberos to accomplish this, which means that Active Directory is required. If you do not have Active Directory deployed and you have perimeter networks, also known as DMZs or workgroups or Windows NT4 domains, we will be looking at these scenarios later in the presentation. But if you do have Active Directory deployed, then you definitely need to be using it. It will be the foundation for security in MOM going forward. Because, as you will see later in this presentation, without it you can't reject manual agent installations, you can't disable agent proxying, and in general you will not be able to prove the identity of any device in your management space. There have been a number of encryption improvements made to the data between the management server and the MOM agent. MOM 2005 leverages the operating system cryptographic provider. So when new features and capabilities are added to the crypto DLLs, MOM will be able to take advantage of these to further protect data transfers. This means that not only are the algorithms and key lengths improved in MOM 2005, making the data more secure, but also as improvements are rolled into the operating system over time, these improvements will be inherited by MOM. For example, as operating system key lengths are increased, and newer and better algorithms are developed for them, MOM will benefit from these in the future. It also allows you to select the best possible level of encryption, even in a non-heterogeneous environment. So even if you have some Windows 2000 computers, some Windows XP computers, and some Windows Server 2003 computers, the network communications channel will automatically select the best level of security for the two parties involved. MOM 2005 also supports FIPS-compliant algorithm. FIPS is the Federal Information Processing Standard, and it is very important in some environments. For example, many government installations require it. You can enable FIPS-compliant algorithms through group policy, and you will be seeing how to do this later in the presentation. If you do, your entire MOM environment will use the FIPS-compliant algorithms without any additional configuration from you. Steps have also been taken to harden the MOM management server against denial-of-service attacks. For example, all sessions are actively timed out, so if any party does not respond to an identity request within a certain period of time, that connection is terminated, so it does not consume server resources. This helps prevent the simple attacks where scripts connected to the management server and consume resources but do not do any real damaging operations. Flooding protection has also been added to the network communications channel between agents and management servers. So if any application acting as an agent attempts to send more data than the MOM server is capable of handling, the connection will be shut down. This will never happen in a normal deployment scenario, so it always signals a security problem. When it does occur, the connection terminates, an alert is generated, and the IP address of the offending party will be captured so you can investigate the problem further. Another improvement to the denial of service defenses is that Microsoft has specifically audited the MOM 2005 product to ensure that they have hardened all the product codes for handling network paths. MOM 2005 has gone through several security audits, but extra care has been taken at all the data entry points to the management server to make sure those network-related code paths are hardened. Another security improvement of MOM 2005 is the fact that it is now secure by default. By default, when you install MOM 2005, many of the security settings have already been set appropriately for a more secure environment. This means that there is less additional configuration required on your part to make sure the environment is as secure as possible. One of the big changes that has been made to MOM as a whole is that the agent manager process, which existed in MOM 2000, is no longer part of MOM 2005. This process was responsible for managing all the agent processes on remote computers. For example, it discovered new computers on the network and remotely installed and uninstalled agents. The problem was that this process ran all the time, whether it was needed or not, and more crucially, it ran with domain admin level credentials, which is not acceptable in a properly secured environment. So in MOM 2005, that functionality is now part of the MOM service, and it only executes when it's needed, only on your schedule. It also runs under credentials that you provide and control, so you can decide the correct level of security that is appropriate for agent management in your environment. The second big change to the default security requirements in MOM 2005 is with the Data Access Service, or DAS. DAS is responsible for all the communications with the MOM database, so that means the MOM database and the MOM management server, and between the MOM database and the MOM management consoles. In MOM 2000, DAS required system administrator privileges to the database that MOM was using. In MOM 2005, that is no longer the case. DAS now only requires database owner, or DB underscore owner as it is known, privileges, and only requires those privileges to the one-point database, which is the MOM operational database. Therefore, its scope of authority has been significantly reduced. Also by default, in new installations, new manual agent installations are rejected, which means that if an agent appears in your management space, or if a device that is pretending to be an agent appears in your management space and tries to talk to the management server will not let it communicate. If this happens, it will generate an alert with the IP address of the device that is attempting to communicate. You can then use this information to decide whether this device is a valid device and should be a managed agent, or whether you have a security issue to resolve. This option is only available if you have mutual authentication enabled in your environment, because without it, MOM cannot positively identify the agent. This is another reason why it is important to enable mutual authentication in your enterprise. As you can see on the slide screenshot, legacy agents are now also blocked by default in MOM 2005. In this case, legacy agents mean MOM 2000 and MOM 2000 SP1 agents. This is done because MOM 2000 and MOM 2000 SP1 agents have a lower level of security, and this gives you a way of enforcing a higher quality of communication security. If you enable mutual authentication, then this is set anyway by definition, because legacy agents do not know how to positively identify themselves. You can also see on the slide screenshot that server-side custom responses have been turned off by default in MOM 2005. A server-side response is an action that a management pack requests to occur on the management server. This can be a variety of things, such as an email notification, a script, a command line execution, or a managed code response. Custom responses are those server-side responses that are not built into MOM, such as managed code execution, script execution, and command line execution that a user can add themselves and therefore are disabled by default, whereas page notification and email notification are internal code paths and are always enabled. The MOM management server is essentially the hub of your entire management infrastructure. It's what all the agents communicate with and get their orders from, and therefore it is important to reduce the risk on the management server as much as possible. No Microsoft management packs require this setting to be enabled, so you should not have to enable it in your environment unless there is a specific reason to do so. This effectively means that no code can arbitrarily execute on your management server. And if something did request code to execute on your server, an alert will be generated indicating what device attempted to execute the code, and you can then follow up and investigate that security issue. And last, agent proxying is disallowed by default in MOM 2005. Agent proxying is a new concept in MOM 2005, so let's look at it in more detail. Essentially, agent proxying makes it possible for one computer, computer A, to send management data on behalf of another computer, computer B. As we mentioned on the previous slide, this capability is allowed by default in MOM 2005, and you can see that the default setting on the screenshot is to prevent agent proxying. Most scenarios do not require proxying to occur, because most agents communicate with the management server regarding the machine that they are managing. So the SQL Server management agent will tell the management servers about its own SQL events and alert. However, there are some scenarios where proxying is useful. For example, where multiple systems need to forward management data through a firewall. Proxying can be used to reduce the number of firewall rules that need to be applied. Another example of an agent proxying scenario would be where Active Directory Management Pack uses proxying to send alerts on behalf of other domain controllers that are having problems. An example of this would be if a domain controller A found that its replication partner, domain controller C, was taking too long to replicate Active Directory data. Domain controller A would log an alert to MOM on behalf of domain controller C. For this reason, there are two levels of agent proxying settings. It can be set on a global basis, or you can allow it on a per-agent basis, which would override the global setting. So in the previous case, you could disallow agent proxying globally, but allow it for just the Active Directory management pack. If proxying is disabled for an agent, but it attempts to proxy by sending management data to a management server on behalf of another computer, the data will first be rejected and then an alert will be generated which you can investigate further. If you do not allow agent proxying, it is important to protect those proxy-enabled computers. This is because by enabling proxying, you are effectively allowing a computer to communicate on behalf of any computer in the management space. And this is even more important if you enable custom responses on the management server as well, because these agent proxying computers will be able to execute those responses on behalf of any other managed computer. Let's look at console to server security. Security has also been improved between the MOM consoles and the management server. All communication is now authenticated, encrypted, and digitally signed by default. DCOM is used at its highest level of communication security to accomplish this, and because DCOM uses operating system security technologies, you will also get the benefit of any security improvements made to the operating system in the future. MOM 2005 also supports a lot more firewall scenarios than previous versions did. If you use the MOM-to-MOM product connector to join two management groups, it uses web services HTTP traffic over port 1271 by default. MOM 2005 supports a firewall in this configuration. Similarly, if you install the web console, it uses HTTP traffic over port 1272 by default, and this scenario is also supported by MOM 2005. The only firewall scenarios which are not supported are communications between the management server and the operating console or administrator console, and between the management server and any agentless monitoring nodes. Agentless monitoring is new to MOM 2005, and it allows you to monitor a device without putting an agent on it. The management server communicates with the agent managed computer over the RPC port TCP 135, and the DCOM port range, therefore using agentless management for computers outside a firewall is not supported. Management and configuration data between the MOM agent and the management server uses TCP traffic over port 1270, and heartbeat traffic uses UDP over port 1270. So if you want the management server to remotely manage your agents, that is, install, uninstall, and apply patches on them, and you put a firewall between the management server and the agents, you will need to enable the DCOM and RPC port ranges. The file transfer server is also a new feature in MOM 2005. It allows you to use the file transfer response to move files between the file transfer server and the MOM agents. This is especially useful for updating the MBSA management pack, which we will be looking at shortly. The file transfer process uses the BITS technology, also used by Windows Update Services, which is a web-based protocol for transferring files. It uses HTTP over default port 80, and this scenario is also supported. All of the database communication paths between the MOM server and the management database, between the management database and the data warehouse, and between the reporting database and the reporting warehouse, are all supported firewall scenarios in MOM 2005. These database communication paths use OLEDB traffic over port 1433 by default. And finally, the reporting console is a web-based console and uses HTTP traffic over port 80, and this scenario is also supported in MOM 2005. Let's look at some more of MOM 2005 security features. MOM 2005 ships out of the box with the Microsoft Baseline Security Analyzer, MBSA, management pack. MBSA is a toolset that inspects the configuration of your computers and looks for common security misconfigurations, missing patches, and so on. It's driven by a data file, mssecure.cab, which is updated regularly by Microsoft. The MBSA management pack performs security vulnerability assessments and the security update scans of your managed computers. By detecting critical security vulnerabilities and required security updates and alerting you of them, the MBSA management pack highlights possible operating security vulnerabilities. It provides monitoring for the core areas of security update notifications and vulnerabilities with Internet Explorer, IIS, SQL, and the Windows operating system. Because of the depth of scanning that MBSA performs, it needs administrator-level privileges on the agent computers. MOM 2005 also supports task auditing. In MOM 2005, there is a new type of task called a runtime task, which is executed through the MOM infrastructure and uses it to make changes to managed devices. So for those tasks which MOM executes as opposed to console tasks which just run at the console, you get a lot of audit information about these tasks, such as what task was run, when it was run, who ran the task, which computer it was run against, and whether it succeeded or not. This allows you to always look back and see which tasks have been applied to agents in your management space. Microsoft has also made improvements in the area of running tasks and command line responses and tasks in MOM 2005. Microsoft has made changes to the command line responses in MOM 2005. They are now specifically separated into program and argument types. This is important because this prevents the execution of a Trojan horse program by making it 100% clear exactly what you are trying to execute. For example, supposing you wanted to run this example.exe file and exists in the program's files directory under the examples subfolder. So you type this in as your command line response into MOM. And when it comes to execute it, it's a little bit ambiguous because all we have is this long string of characters. At the computer level, it could mean run /programfiles/example/example.exe. Or it may also mean that you want to run /program.exe with the argument files /example/examples.exe. Which way it is interpreted depends on the operating system it is run on. Different operating systems have different algorithms for determining which executable to pick up. The good news is that you don't have to worry about this with MOM 2005 because it has different places to put the program and the argument, so that it is always 100% clear what you intend to execute. Now let's see how to configure some of these agent-to-server security measures in the first demonstration of the presentation. In this presentation, we will configure some security settings that affect agent-to-server communications and then update agent computers. In this first demonstration, we are going to configure some settings that affect security between agents and servers. Mutual authentication requires the MOM management server and the agent to authenticate against each other using Kerberos 5 protocol before communication between them can occur. This setting is applied as a global setting and cannot be overridden on the management server or its agent. If the agents and the management servers involved in the communication were in different domains, a trust relationship would also be required for mutual authentication to work. This setting is on by default in MOM 2005 when it is running in an Active Directory environment. When we turn off mutual authentication, the communication channel between the MOM management server and its agents will be broken. We will need to re-establish this communication channel later. When the block MOM 2000 and MOM 2000 Service Pack 1 agents from connecting to the management server setting is enabled, only MOM 2005 agents can communicate with management servers in this management group. Once again, this setting is applied globally and cannot be overridden on the management server or agent. This setting can be applied individually, even if mutual authentication is turned off, but if mutual authentication is enabled, then this setting is always on. Custom responses are scripts that run on the management server in response to specific data gathered from one or more managed computers. When you disable custom response execution, it is a globally applied setting on the management group and cannot be overridden on a management server or agent. We now need to commit these changes, which we do on the management packs node. Now we will enable new management agent installations. If you select Reject New Manual Installations, any agents that are installed manually will not appear in the MOM Administrator Console, and will not be managed by MOM. This setting only applies to those agents installed manually after this setting has been enabled, and any existing manually installed agents are not affected. Once again, we need to commit these security configuration changes. Now we need to restart the MOM service on all the management servers in the management group. In our case, that is just the lon-mom-01 server. In MOM 2005, an agent can forward data on behalf of another computer or network device, which is called agent proxying. The agent proxying setting specifies whether to allow or prevent the MOM agent from proxying on behalf of these other devices. If you turn this option on, the management server will reject data sent from an agent that does not match the agent name, and an event will be logged. This setting helps to prevent spoofing attacks, where one agent is used as a malicious user to pose as another agent and sends data to the management server. This setting can be applied globally and will be inherited by all agents in the management group, but it can also be set on a per agent basis if necessary. It should also be noted that if mutual authentication is disabled, agents are able to proxy regardless of the agent proxying setting. If we enable or disable mutual authentication or change the communication port number, the communication channel between the management servers and agents is broken, and we need to restore it. To do this, we need to synchronize the agent communication settings by updating the agent settings manually in the administrator console. This is also useful to quickly update agents of recent configuration changes. You can update several agent-managed computers at once by multi-selecting them before you update the agent settings. For this demo, we will use the default credentials of our management server action account, but we could also select the other option and supply alternate credentials that have administrator rights on the agents. When you select multiple agents, the credentials you supply for the account to update the agent setting must be a local administrator on all of the agents selected. Again, we will use the default local system account as the agent action account, but we could also select the other option and supply alternate credentials for another account that has the logon as a batch job privilege on all the agents selected. Now let's look at another aspect of MOM security, which is called Trusted Monitoring. Trusted Monitoring is a brand new security feature available in MOM 2005. Trusted Monitoring enables a whole suite of low-privilege monitoring scenarios that were not possible before MOM 2005. Another important takeaway from this session is that you understand how Trusted Monitoring works, so you can reduce the risks that your management infrastructure puts on the rest of your data center. So in this section, we will look at what trusted monitoring is, how it works, and examine the minimum privileges required for it. Every enterprise has servers which are absolutely critical to the running of the business. Examples of this would be SQL servers, which typically drive line of business applications. If a SQL server is not available, your employees will not be able to complete their work and will be unproductive. Another example would be your domain controllers, which act as an authentication centers and policy distribution centers for your enterprise. These are absolutely critical servers. Your MOM management server is also a critical server because it is the one that controls all the management agents in your management space. And then there are servers that hold confidential data, such as payroll data and the medical records data. You need to protect these kinds of servers and make sure that the level of risk you are undertaking on them is an absolute minimum. What you need is a method to monitor these critical systems in a non-destructive way. You can guarantee that your management infrastructure cannot have an impact on your mission-critical services, while still allowing you to benefit from being able to monitor those systems. We have already looked at some of the ways in which you can protect the agent from being compromised, for example by disallowing agent proxying. But how do we protect the agents if the management infrastructure itself is compromised? This is what trusted monitoring is all about, giving you control at the agent level over what the management environment can accomplish. This brings us to the action account, which again is a new concept in MOM 2005. It is important to understand this concept to effectively secure your enterprise. The action account is an account that you provide to execute all the MOM actions. So this means all MOM providers, which include those that read event logs, read performance counters, and WMI, will run under the security context of this provided identity. This allows you to control what information MOM has access to. So if you don't want MOM to be able to read data from specific tables on your SQL server, then don't give it the privileges to do so. MOM will still be able to monitor the rest of the system just fine. There is an exception to this provider rule, which is with the file transfer response provider, which uses Bits technology and runs as local system. Similarly, all MOM responses are executed under the action account. This means your scripts, your command line executables, and any managed code responses. This allows you to control the changes that MOM can make to a managed node. All runtime tasks execute in the context of the action account. These are tasks executed by an administrator through the consoles. All agent management operations, such as new computer discovery, installation of agents in the enterprise, all use the action account to execute, which gives you ultimate control over what MOM can and cannot do. This is not just important in a security attack protection sense, but also in the case of accidental mistakes. For example, you can configure the action account so that it does not have the privileges to reboot a computer. In the next section, we are going to look at the security features of MOM 2005. There are two parts to the MOM agent and the MOM management server. In the case of the MOM agent, there's the MOM service, which runs as a service account, either local system or network service. And then there's the MOM host, which runs under the credentials you provide for the action account. The MOM host is isolated from the MOM service to provide you with a separate security context, and also to provide some isolation against code which executes, such as managed code responses and scripts. In the case of the MOM management server, it works in the same way, with the only addition being the Data Access Service, or DAS. DAS runs under its own account, which, as we saw earlier, is a much lower privileged account now than it was in MOM 2000. Let's look at these different service accounts in more detail. On Windows Server 2003 and Windows XP, the MOM service runs as the network service account. However, if you have configured an action account as local system, the MOM service will run under local system. In Windows 2000, there is no network service account, and the MOM service runs as local system. The Data Access Service account, or DAS account, is an account that you are prompted for during the installation of the MOM management database or the MOM management server. It does not have to be a local administrator on either the MOM management server or the MOM database server. it only needs to have DB underscore owner rights on the OnePoint database, which is the MOM operational database. Other than that, it can just be a regular user account. Now let's look at the MOM host account in more detail. As we discussed earlier, the MOM host runs under the identity of the Action account, which you provide at setup or agent deployment time. It is used for data gathering and response execution, and also for computer discovery and agent management operations on the management server. Since it is used for agent management, and you want to be able to perform push installations to your agents in MOM, you might think that you would need a fairly high privilege action account on the MOM server. But in MOM 2005, this is not the case, because you can specify different credentials at push install time. So you could use a low privilege action account on the MOM server, and then at the time you want to perform agent management tasks, such as installing or uninstalling an agent, you can provide high level credentials which are used for that task only. MOM will use those credentials to execute the agent management operation and then destroy the credentials when the task completes. For this reason, you are not required to use a high privilege action account such as administrator on the MOM server. If you want the MOM server to automatically deploy and manage agents, the best approach to take is to make the action account a regular user on the MOM server and make it a local system administrator on the specific computers you want to manage. On Windows 2000 and Windows XP, the action account needs to be local administrator because of the granularity of permissions that are available to work within those operating systems. However, in Windows Server 2003, you do not need administrator level privileges. So what are the minimum required privileges for trusted monitoring in MOM 2005? If you have agents running on Windows Server 2003, the minimum level of privileges you need for your action account is membership of the local users group. Membership of the local performance log users group allows you to have access to performance counters. The manage auditing and security log user right to allow you to read auditing data, and the allow log on locally user right to allow us to log on with the account credentials to run the providers and the responses with. So you can see there is quite a low level of permissions and privileges required for trusted monitoring. It is very important that as you author management packs, especially if you are going to be distributing them to other companies, that you think about low privilege monitoring. Not all agents will be running as local system, and you need to provide good monitoring experience even with a low privileged account. If you publish a management pack that works in low privileged scenarios, it is very useful for the users of it to document its required privileges so that they can configure an account specifically to use with the management pack without giving it more privileges than are actually required to monitor and manage the device. We discussed agentless monitoring briefly in the firewall support section earlier in the presentation, but now let's look at it in more detail. For agentless monitoring, all of this activity happens when the action account on the MOM host. Agentless monitoring allows us to monitor a device without actually installing any agent software on the device. So if you want to agentlessly monitor a server, the MOM host needs to have access to that server as a local administrator. This is because it uses remote procedure calls, or RPCs, to open the event logs, the registry, and WMI data, and these are only available to local administrators of that computer. What you can do is configure your action account so it has these local admin rights on only those devices you wish to agentlessly manage. Now let's look at how the action account is used when tasks are executed in MOM 2005. As we discussed earlier, there are two types of task in MOM 2005: console tasks and runtime tasks. Console tasks, which were also available in MOM 2000, which execute in the context of the console itself. So the user launches the task, and the task is then executed on the console computer under the identity of the console user. What has been added for MOM 2005 are runtime tasks, which allow you to execute tasks on your agent computer or your management server from a remote console. Only authors and administrators have the ability to do this, because these kind of tasks can have an impact on your management space. With runtime tasks, when the administrator launches the task from the console, the task is first submitted to the management console using the credentials of the user that submitted the task, in this case, the administrator. This then allows the user to be authenticated and authorized to submit tasks by making sure they are an author or an administrator. Once the management server verifies that the user can launch the task is sent to the agent, where the task is then executed under the identity of the action account. So you can see here how choosing the right action account is important, both from a security perspective and from an accidental execution perspective. It also shows you that with the action account, you can control all the rights that are granted or not granted to perform or not to perform these tasks. Let's take a brief look now at role-based security in MOM 2005. For those of you who have used MOM 2000, you will see that it is quite similar in MOM 2005, although some of the groups have been renamed. We have the MOM users group, whose members have full functionality to the operator console, except for the ability to launch runtime tasks, which we saw previously needs much higher privileges to execute. We also have the MOM authors group, who have all the same rights as the MOM users group, but they also have the ability to launch runtime tasks and to import, export, and create management packs and rule groups. Because these users have the ability to launch runtime tasks and scripts and create rules, they need to be a trusted group, and you should be very particular about who you add to this group. The MOM administrators group members have all the rights of a MOM author, as well as the rights to install, uninstall, and manage agents, and the ability to configure global settings such as security settings. The last group on this slide is new to MOM 2005, and it is called the MOM Service Group. This is only used by the MOM to MOM Product Connector, or MMPC, and the DAS account is added as a member when the MMPC is installed. You should never need to add any users to this group. On the management server, by default, the DAS roles has the local built-in administrators groups in them. This allows local administrators to have MOM administrator rights to MOM. This was done because it simplifies the install experience, and it's not a security problem because local administrators can simply add themselves to the MOM groups anyway. However, Microsoft received a lot of feedback from their customers saying that this also allows local administrators to make accidental changes through MOM. To mitigate this, Microsoft is shipping a new tool in version 2 of the resource kit called removedasroles.exe. You just run this tool and local administrators will not be MOM administrators. It is a toggle tool, so you can run it again to re-enable the rights. Let's see some of the account security configuration tasks we have been discussing in our next demonstration. In this demonstration, we will configure the Data Access Server component, or DAS, to use the built-in local service account. The following procedure configures MOM to use the lower privileged local service account for the DAS component when the MOM management server and MOM database are installed on the same computer. But you can only do this if the management server is running Windows Server 2003. Windows 2000 does not support the local service account. The first thing we need to do is open up SQL Enterprise Manager and access the security folder. Here we will create a new logon for the local service account. The logon name we will use is ntauthority/localservice. Next, we need to grant the local service account db-owner privileges to the OnePoint database, which is the MOM operational database. If we look in the users node, you can see that creating the new logon has also created a new database user, and if we open up the new user details, we can see the database role memberships that it has for the OnePoint database. To change the account used for DAS, we need to stop the MOM service, which we do in the Services console. Now we need to stop the DAS component service, which is under the COM+ Applications node in Component Services. You can see that there is a component service application running called Microsoft Operations Manager Data Access Server. We need to shut this application down to modify the account context that it runs under. We use the Identity tab of the DAS component service properties to specify which account should be used to run the application. For this demonstration, we are going to specify that the local service system account will be used for this application. Now we have changed the account that DAS runs under, we need to restart the MOM service. When we restart the MOM service, the Microsoft Operations Manager Data Access Server application starts up again automatically and is now running under the local service account. Now for some detailed information on how to secure your MOM deployment. So what are we going to cover in securing your MOM deployment section? In this section on securing a MOM deployment, we will look at the management server and the MOM agents. We will also look at the network that MOM doesn't have control over, but you do, and how you can help secure traffic between MOM components. We will also look at other services that MOM relies on. Let's start then by looking at securing MOM management servers. Some of the information has already been covered in the agent to server securing section of this presentation, but it holds for general management server security as well, and will act as a reminder of security best practices for MOM 2005. So it is important to enable mutual authentication in your environment. This is the foundation for securing MOM, because without it, you can't reject manual agent installations, you can't disable proxying, and in general, you will not be able to prove the identity of any device in your management space. For these reasons, it is very important you enable this if possible. Never use a domain admin account as a management server action account. As we discussed earlier, there is no need for MOM to have these level of privileges, not on a MOM server. If you want MOM to remotely manage agents, it is much better to specifically grant local administrator rights on only the computers you wish to manage. Lock down the MOM groups. Make sure you know and control who is a member of these groups, especially in the case of the MOM authors and MOM administrators groups. You can use the restricted groups policy setting in Windows Server 2003 to help lock down membership for these groups. If you have just installed MOM, then agent proxying will be disallowed by default. If not, make sure you disallow this option. This will prevent computers talking to MOM on behalf of other computers. Again, the reject new manual agent installation setting will be on by default. This prevents new agents from appearing in the management space without your control. It is important to realize that these are the default settings for new installations of MOM 2005. But for rolling upgrades from MOM 2000 SP1, many of these restriction settings will be turned off to allow the upgrade to complete with minimal interruption to your MOM environment. So once you have completed the upgrade, you should go into the MOM Administrator console and enable these security settings so that you have a secure monitoring environment. Lastly, on the automatic management settings for your management server, do not allow it to automatically install and uninstall agents. If you enable this, the MOM server will go out and make changes to agents based on what it discovers in Active Directory. So if you want the maximum security for your MOM environment, disable this and perform management tasks yourself through the admin console. One of the biggest security challenges facing server administrators is determining which servers and service ports are required on a server and which are not to make it run successfully. What Microsoft has done to help automate this process is to create the Security Configuration Wizard, which is new in Windows Server 2003 Service Pack 1. So this wizard already knows about service dependencies, and it provides a simple tool to lock down servers based on their server roles. When you run the wizard on your MOM management server, it will detect that MOM 2005 is installed, and it will detect any other services installed, such as IIS for the web consoles. So it will look at what your server is configured to do, figure out the minimum set of services that are required for it to operate in this role successfully, and then disable all of the other surplus services. It will also use the Windows firewall to disable ports that are not necessary for those services to work. So it is a very easy way to lock down your MOM management servers and indeed any other servers in your infrastructure performing other roles. If you want to enforce FIPS compliant algorithms, then you can do so by updating group policy. You can see on this screenshot that there is a group policy setting in the computer configuration section under Windows settings, security settings, local policies, security options, which allows you to set this for your environment. If you enable this policy on the relevant OU or on your domain, MOM will automatically pick this up and begin using FIPS compliant algorithms for all communications, consoles, agent, server, and so on. Now let's look at some steps for securing your MOM agents. Use a low privilege action account whenever possible. This is the greatest level of security you can provide to the devices you are managing with MOM. Every management pack has its own permissions requirements for gathering data and executing responses. For example, if you want to monitor an application log file, that management pack will require access to that log file, which is different from a management pack that doesn't know about that log file. For the management packs that ship with MOM 2005, Microsoft provides in the root node for the group a text file that describes the level of privileges required for that management pack to execute. If you author your own management pack, it is important to provide this information to the user so that they can configure their environment appropriately. In multi-home scenarios, each management group can select a different action account. This means if you have a management group for monitoring the operating systems across your data center, that could have an action account with minimal permissions and only to the operating system. And for individual servers running SQL Server or IIS, for instance, you could have a separate action account that only has privileges for SQL or IIS. This is really good for separating duties across multiple management groups or across organizational boundaries. Now, let's see how to manage those action accounts. To help you manage your server action accounts, the MOM management pack has an event rule which looks for password expiration on all the action accounts in the management group, and it generates an alert 7 days before the password expires, which gives you plenty of time to plan your password changes for those agents whose passwords are expiring. Now let's look at some steps for securing your network. There are some components of the management infrastructure which you don't really have complete control over. This may be because the settings are not specific to MOM and therefore have an impact outside of MOM. Or it may be because MOM uses technologies such as SQL Server or SQL reporting services that are not under your direct control. In the MOM 2005 operations guide, detailed information is provided on additional steps you can take to further harden your data center. For example, agent deployment uses remote file shares to move the installation packages to the target agent, and file shares use the server message block or SMB protocol. The SMB protocol by default does not protect against man-in-the-middle attacks. However, you can enable SMB signing in your enterprise through a group policy setting which will cause all the SMB traffic to be signed and thus mitigate against a man-in-the-middle attack. The connection between the management server and the agent is mutually authenticated and encrypted by default and digitally signed in Active Directory environments. Therefore, IPsec is not necessary in this situation. However, you can use IPsec between the management server and the agentless nodes you wish to manage. For monitoring in general, as we saw earlier, you can use FIPS compliant algorithms for all your MOM communications. In an Active Directory environment, you should use Kerberos authentication to enable mutual authentication. In a non-Active Directory environment, or in situations where you don't have a trust relationship between multiple domains, use IPsec to control the communication paths between the agents and servers. Between MOM servers and the agentless servers, again use IPsec to enforce privacy of data transfer. By default, data that is retrieved is in clear text, so if it is important to you that your data is not exposed on the network, use IPsec. Between the MOM server and the operational database, either use IPsec again to secure that type of traffic or use OLADB for security. If you have also installed the web console component for MOM 2005, you can secure that as well. You can very easily make it a read-only console by navigating to the web config file, which is located through the path shown on the slide. In this file is a configuration line which is commented out by default. You can see the relevant line on the slide, and all you have to do is uncomment that line. Save the file, and the web console will then be read-only. This means you can give web console access to users that you wouldn't normally give full MOM operator console access to. There are some slight differences between securing MOM 2005 Workgroup Edition and MOM 2005 Enterprise Edition. Workgroup Edition has some small changes from the way the Enterprise Edition works because the topology is much more constrained. For example, in MOM 2005 Enterprise Edition, the Data Access Service, or DAS account, runs as an account that you provide, whereas in MOM 2005 Workgroup Edition, DAS runs in the lowest privileged service account, which is local system. The Workgroup Edition also has a simplified deployment model, so when you push install an agent, you will not be prompted for credentials. However, you can still deploy using different credentials if you want to. There are detailed steps on how to do this in the README file on the Workgroup Edition product CD. But essentially, you can use computer discovery to discover the computers, and then you can do a push install using credentials you provide. This allows you to make the action account lower privilege. For securing other services that are used in conjunction with MOM, simply follow the existing best practices for those services or applications. For example, SQL Server follows SQL Server security best practice. For SQL Reporting Services and File Transfer Server, use the SQL Reporting Services security model and follow IIS security best practices respectively. Let's see how to secure our MOM deployment further in the last demonstration. In this demonstration, we will use the Security Configuration Wizard to create a MOM-related security policy which can be applied to other MOM servers. We will also create a GPO to enforce the use of FIPS-compliant algorithms. And lastly, we will reconfigure the password expiry warning threshold for the MOM action account. The Security Configuration Wizard can help you lock down your MOM management server. When you run it, it will detect that MOM 2005 is installed on your server and calculate the minimum set of services required for it to operate in this role successfully. It can also disable all of the other surplus services. It uses the Windows firewall to disable ports that are not necessary for the required services to operate. Using this wizard, you can create a new policy, edit an existing policy, or apply a policy that you have already created. In this case, we are creating a new policy. We will use the server lun-mom-01 as our baseline server for this new policy. Now the wizard creates the security configuration database, and we can see what is contained in the database. You can see that the configuration database consists of several server roles, and here we can see the details of the Microsoft Operations Manager 2005 server role, which shows the general description of the role, as well as the services and ports required for it to operate successfully. So let's move on to the next section in the wizard, which is role-based service configuration. Here we can see the server roles currently installed on the server, of which MOM is one of them. These are the client features installed on the server. On this page, we can see the Microsoft Operations Manager 2005 server options available, and we already have the MOM to MOM connector administration server option selected. This allows the MOM management server to be managed remotely using the web console. We will also add the remote administration server option as well, which allows the MOM management server to be managed remotely using both the MOM administrator console and the MOM operator console. This enables us to manage the MOM server remotely from a secure Windows XP professional workstation. Note that this option is not required if you use terminal services or remote desktop for administration to perform your remote management tasks. When the wizard finds unspecified services, we do not want it to change the startup mode for these services. These are services not installed in this server and are not in the security configuration database. On this page in the wizard, you can see that many of these discovered services are going to have their startup mode modified because of this policy. For example, the background intelligent transfer services, or BITS, is going to change from manual to automatic, and the distributed file system is going to change from manual to disabled because this server is not a DFS server. In this section, we can configure which ports to open and which applications to approve using the Windows firewall. You can see that port 1270 is used by MOM to receive data from MOM agents over TCP and UDP protocols. If we select the port and look at the advanced options, we can restrict access to this port for remote access using IPsec. We can specify computers by name, by individual IP address, or by an entire subnet. We can also decide whether to permit all traffic or whether to require or request traffic signing and encryption. We will confirm the port settings, and we don't need to specify any settings on the next three sections in the wizard, so we'll skip those. Now we can save our new policy, which would be saved as an XML file. We will call this one demo, and we will also include the Secure Domain Controller security template in our policy. Note that wizard settings take precedence over settings configured in the security template if there are any conflicts. We can now view the details of our policy in a browser window. So here are our service settings, port settings, and the included security template. In this demonstration, we do not want to apply the policy to our server now, so we will select the option to apply it later. Now we have finished, and the demo.xml policy file has been saved in the location we specified. To enforce the use of FIPS compliant algorithms, we need to switch to the domain controller and open up Active Directory users and computers. We'll create a policy in the contoso.com domain using Group Policy Management Console. We will create an unlinked group policy object, or GPO, called FIPS compliance. Now we edit the FIPS compliance GPO by drilling down into the security options settings in the computer configuration section of the GPO. This is the setting we want to enforce in our GPO, so we set that to enabled, and that's all we have to do. What we would then do is link this new GPO to either the domain or a specific organizational unit or OU, containing the computers we wanted to secure using FIPS compliant algorithms. To set the action account password expiry alert warning, we need to switch back to the MOM server and open up the administrator console. We need to drill down into the MOM 2005 management pack event rules to set the password expiry warning setting. The event rule we want to configure is under the Agents on All MOM Roles Event Rules folder. So we open up the MOM Action Account Password Expiration Check Event Rules properties. On the Responses tab, we select the script we want to modify and edit it. The script parameter we want to change is the Error Alert Threshold Days parameter, and we are going to change the setting from the default value of 7 to 14 days instead, which will give us even more time to plan our action account password changes. Let's summarize the key points from this session about securing your MOM 2005 environment. By default, when you install MOM 2005, all of the security settings have already been set appropriately for a secure environment. This means that little to no additional configuration is required on your part to make sure the environment is secure. You should enable mutual authentication in your environment. It lays the groundwork for all other security measures for MOM 2005, which were covered in this presentation. Mutual authentication allows you to positively identify the parties involved in network communications between the MOM agent and the MOM server. Trusted monitoring enables a whole suite of low-privileged monitoring scenarios that were not possible before MOM 2005. You should use trusted monitoring to reduce the risks that your management infrastructure puts on the rest of your data center. To get more information on the products and technologies we have covered today, we have some online resources available that can help. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the main TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/TechNet. Alternatively, visit www.microsoft.com/TechNet/MGT-23 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that are related directly to this session. There are a number of other resources that are also available to help you. Professional MOM 2005, SMS 2003, and WUS by Russ Kaufman, Randy Holloway, and Talmo Samparo is soon to be released. Microsoft also has instructor-led courses if you prefer the classroom-style environment. Microsoft Learning, formerly Microsoft Training and Certification and Microsoft Press, develops courseware called Microsoft Official Curriculum, or MOC, which includes e-learning, Microsoft Press books, workshops, clinics, and Microsoft Skills Assessment. MOC is offered in instructor-led environments. It offers comprehensive training courses for IT professionals and teaches you to support and implement solutions using Microsoft products and technologies. The courses that best support this session are Managing Your Infrastructure Using Microsoft Operations Manager 2005 and Implementing Microsoft Operations Manager 2000, which are available now. For more information, please visit www.microsoft.com/learning. There is also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills for implementing and managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft Official Curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Press books, and other Microsoft Learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning program. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including Security and Patch Management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you differentiate yourself from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, MCP. You can choose to go and become a fully certified Systems Administrator, MSCA, or Systems Engineer, MSCE, or Desktop Specialist, MCDST. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which I'm sure you'll find interesting to hear about. To help explain in more detail, I'd like to introduce Holly Dayes, Senior Marketing Manager for TechNet.
Many of you may be familiar with TechNet events and the TechNet website, but have you ever realized the benefits of being a TechNet Plus subscriber? A TechNet Plus subscription is the most convenient and reliable resource for IT professionals evaluating, managing, and supporting Microsoft technologies. With a TechNet Plus subscription, you can evaluate Microsoft software without time limits. This benefit allows you to try products at your own pace and make informed decisions without worrying about the software expiring. TechNet Plus evaluation software includes the latest Microsoft operating systems, server applications, and Office products. With TechNet Plus, you can also save time resolving technical issues. TechNet Plus subscriptions include a range of support options, including the complete Microsoft knowledge base delivered each month on portable media, and two complimentary professional support incidents to address your technical roadblocks. TechNet Plus offers centralized access to current, authoritative technical guidance, software, and support resources from Microsoft. IT professionals around the world rely on TechNet Plus every day to help them build their technical expertise and be successful in implementing Microsoft solutions. For details, visit www.microsoft.com/TechNet/subscriptions. On the subject of TechNet resources, the new TechNet support page outlines all the support resources available for you. The enhanced TechNet troubleshooting and support page outlines all the ways IT professionals can get support assistance from Microsoft. From free online support options to subscription-based support, you'll find all your Microsoft support resources in one location at www.microsoft.com/TechNet/support. TechNet also provides a number of community resources. There are a number of free resources available on TechNet. You can attend a regular chat with members of product groups or technology specialists from Microsoft, or you can attend a webcast where you can see sessions like the one you've just watched, but presented live and with the ability to ask questions as you go. You can also read or post questions in public news groups. The TechNet newsgroup page lists the available groups and provides an interface from which you can read and post messages. TechNet Plus subscribers can use these groups to post their technical questions, and because they are subscribers, are guaranteed a response to any technical questions by next business day from community experts or Microsoft support professionals. The main community site provides a comprehensive list of resources available, more than we can ever cover on this slide. Plus, the page has some dynamic features with continually updated content. The events page provides dates and details where you can attend a TechNet event live. These events take place around the world and provide the opportunity for you to talk with Microsoft specialists face-to-face. And finally, TechNet Columns provide a variety of topics written by industry authors. Thank you very much for listening to this session.